he's reading in the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah prophesies that after 70 years of captivity, the Jews are going to be released to go back to Jerusalem, back to their own land. And Daniel reads that, and he gets excited. And but anyway, he knows that blessings from God comes with confession, you know, and forsaking sin. And God wants to bless us. And anyway, so Daniel goes into this prayer. And it is quite a prayer. It's probably the greatest prayer in the Old Testament anyway, as far as, and he really pours his soul out to the Lord. And let's go ahead in Daniel 9, and we'll begin at verse 3, I think it is, if my memory serves me right. And we're going to be picking it up this morning in verse 10. But just, and it goes, the prayer goes from verses 3 through 19. And again, I'd like to just have us read the whole prayer to kind of get the flow of things. And sense Daniel's heart, you know, and where he is and how he's pleading with God. You know, Daniel wants his nation restored. He wants to see them turn back to the Lord. And they haven't. And you're going to see this prayer. They've forsaken the Lord. They've done everything. And again, as we go through this, think of the United States. And think if we could be saying the same thing about our country as what they're saying here. And so would somebody be willing to read verses 3 through 19 for us on this prayer of Daniel's? Who'd like to do that? Okay, back here.
So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants and prophets who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered in shame. The men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God, or kept the laws he gave us through his servants the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us, because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all those disasters come upon us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, made for yourself a name that endures to this day. We have sinned. We have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bear your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay because your city and your people bear your name.
Okay, thank you very much. Folks, we can see the heart of Daniel. He's praying out his heart, pouring out his heart for his nation. And so let's go ahead and pick it up at verse 10. I doubt if we're going to be able to finish this prayer this morning. But right after this prayer, folks, I mean, this thing is getting ready to, we're getting ready to shift into high gear. But anyway, looking forward to that. Looking forward to this morning. So I'm looking forward to the book of Daniel. I have loved this study. Wow. I shouldn't be amazed at what's coming in the future, because it's the Word of God. God wrote it. God inspired it. And so, but I mean, when we look, and we're going to go into detail about prophecies that have been fulfilled in the past. It was future to Daniel, but it's past. And I mean, it's right down to naming the kings by name. And I mean, anyway, all right, leave that alone, Jim. I always want to get where I'm, you know, ahead of where I am today. So, but I'm looking forward to this too. So, okay, verse 10, enough of that. Verse 10, it says, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. He said, God, you sent the prophets, but we have not obeyed. He's confessing his sin. He's being specific about his sin. And he names a sin that they're guilty of in his confession to God. We've turned our backs on you, God. And folks, when we pray to God and we're asking forgiveness, it is good for us to name our sins in confession. Spell them out. Tell God, Lord, what I said to that person yesterday was wrong, or a minute ago, or 30 seconds ago. You know, and again, keep your account short. I mean, you do something wrong and bingo, you're convicted immediately. Confess that sin right then and there. Don't wait till next week. You know, name it. Name the sin to God. It's good for us to name our sins in confession. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to take a look at specifically at what Daniel's talking about here. 2 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to read verses 13 through 20. 2 Kings 17, 13 through 20. I don't hear many pages flipping anymore. So who would read those for us? John?
Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants and prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. They rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them, and they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were around about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and use divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. And Judah kept on the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made. Was it through 19?
Yeah, do verse 20.
And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight.
Okay, we see what Daniel's talking about here. And Daniel said it's happened in the past, it's happening to us today. Folks, is that happening in the United States today? And back in verse 17, it says, and it caused her sons and her daughters to pass through the fire. And that doesn't just mean that they passed through a fire, like they sent them running through a fire or something like that. They offered their children to these false gods as a sacrifice on a burnt offering, as a burnt offering to the Lord, as a sacrifice to these false gods. They murdered their own children in worship of these evil people. And that's what it means. And you see that a lot of times in the Bible. It talks about, and they made them pass through the fire. Well, that's what that means. It's not just that you ran through a fire somewhere. You know, it's, you know, and came out alive on the other side. So, thank you, John, for reading that. So, again, we see what God has said. God rejects them because they have rejected him. Many times we don't like to admit particular sins, but do it anyway. Do it anyway. Name the sin that you just committed because God already knows about it. I remember one time some missionary, I think, said that. God already knows. You know, I'm thinking of keeping it a secret from God, you know. I don't have to admit this. Anyway. Verse 11. It says, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that was written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. It says all Israel has transgressed. And basically they have. They just as a nation, they've turned their back on God. From the top of the social ladder to the bottom, everybody. And he says, and therefore the curse is poured out on us. The curse has been written in the law of Moses. God said, if you serve me, I'm going to bless you. But if you turn your back on me, I'm going to curse you. You're going to be punished. God's promised it. He said it in his word. And Daniel said, Lord, you said it, and now you've done it. Here we are. You're totally righteous and just in what you're doing, for giving us this punishment. The Jews had the choice of obedience or disobedience. We do today as Christians. Their choice of disobedience had caused them to suffer the curse. They have no one else to blame but themselves. No one else. God's chastisement of his people is to cause them to repent and turn back to him. God's trying to bring us back, trying to bring them back. It is like a divine form of parental discipline. Question. Is the United States better in God's sight than his chosen people? No. If he's done it to them, does he have a right to do it to us too? Yes, he does. Folks, I fear for our nation. I really do. And yet, we need to be like Daniel, and they just pray this same prayer. We have sinned. We have done wrong. We have turned our back on you, Lord. We started with a Christian heritage. You know, we started, this nation started in biblical principles. And look at us today. Anyway, this world's turning around. The United States is. I've been getting some emails lately, you know, about, you know, just different things that's taking place in our nation, and how now you don't dare mention God in the state of Minnesota and somewhere else up in there. It's all Muslim countries, and you're banned. And in fact, they were trying to do some kind of a Christian organization type thing. The city, or anyways, the authorities, I'll put it like that, they stopped it because they might offend some Muslims. You know, anyway, and it's spreading, folks. It's spreading. Anyway, verse 12. We're still 11. It is verse 12. I'm ready for verse 12. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us this great evil. For unto the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done in Jerusalem. In other words, they're to the Jews. It says, God, you've confirmed your words. You said you were going to do it. You've done it. You know, we're in bondage. God has repeatedly warned us over and over again. And he's also against our judges. Our judges that judged us, it says in that verse. Folks, do we have any wicked judges in the United States? Do we have poor results on crimes? Is the bad guys getting let off the hook and the good guys are the ones that's getting in trouble? You know, we've wicked judges. I mean, he said he will chastise us for the disobedience. God, you said you'd do it, and you've done it. And he said he'll do it, and now he's done it. And by bringing upon us this great evil, they're in bondage. They're under Gentile domination. This is why all this evil's come upon us, by sending us into captivity in Babylon. Sin brings its just reward. God, I said a couple weeks ago, God must punish sin. He must do it. He will do it. He will do it. And as a result, we have been judged by God in ways more severe than he has on any other place under heaven. And folks, look at the Jews. Look at the persecution they have been on, you know, for years, 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 years. Look at the Nazi thing. 6 million Jews slaughtered. I mean, there has never been wrath poured upon any nation, you know, like the Jews. God's born, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And the Jews were given much. And, you know, Paul goes through that, you know. And yet, it brings responsibility. And folks, God, with the knowledge that God has given us, there also comes a responsibility to live for him. And folks, let's not play around with sin. It's what, I mean, it's what the message is here. Don't play around with sin. It will bring God's judgment on us just like it did on them. We need to confess and forsake our sins. A lot of times we confess, but we don't forsake. Sin is fun. You know, that's why so many people do it. Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. And I'm just going verse by verse through this thing, but it's actually kind of a repeat from verse 11. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. God said, if you disobey me, I'm going to punish you. The main point here is that Israel had been warned. Folks, have we been warned? We got churches all across this United States. Hopefully, they're warning. God has warned them and us about the connection between behavior and consequences. Obey God and be blessed. Disobey God and be cursed. That's simple. I mean, you can't make it any clearer than that. We have a choice. And God has given us a clear example of the consequences. We see the consequences to the Jews. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities. God has put us in bondage, and yet we don't turn back to the Lord. The Lord does this punishment to bring people back. It's his loving chastisement. Like a parent trying to, you know, get their child to do what's right. You don't have to teach a child to do wrong. That comes naturally. We get that from our sin nature. We have to teach him to do right. Even after being put into captivity, they still did not turn to God in prayer. Despite God's chastening judgment, there had been no repentance, no revival, no restoration. They could not care less about the things of God. Daniel confesses they had no interest in following the things of God. He confesses they had no interest in understanding God's truth. They persisted in their evil ways. The United States persists in our evil ways. Daniel recognized that because the people had spurned the mercy of God, God had no other recourse than to bring discipline upon them. God, you said you're going to do it. If you don't do it, you've lied. God doesn't lie. Sitting pretty close to home, isn't it? We can see what happened to them. Why shouldn't we expect God to do the same to us? However, if he does, we'll get mad and blame him for being unloving. Why are you doing this to me, God? I don't deserve this. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. James 1:2, it says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or various trials and temptations. It goes on to say, God is trying to bring out, he's trying to bring us back to repentance, and when we're through the trial, hopefully, if we do what's right, we'll come out on the other side of this trial, this temptation, being a better Christian, being a stronger, being more Christ-like, and to say we have learned our lesson. And Lord, and folks, we just need to ask God to teach us. Help me to learn quickly, Lord, so I can get out from underneath this trial I'm going through. Verse 14. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. He's saying, God, you're righteous in what you're doing. Is God going to be righteous if he punishes the United States? Yes. God sees the evil, but is long-suffering, and he gives his people time to repent. If that doesn't happen, it's time for chastisement. This has happened because we obeyed not his voice. The Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he doeth. Daniel recognizes, God, you're just. We deserve it. Daniel repeated the contrast between God's righteousness and Israel's disobedience. And our disobedience. And what a mature perspective that is. Most people don't do that. Most people don't say, hey, folks, or hey, God, I'm the one at fault. I'm wrong. No, we blame him. I've done that. God, why are you doing this to me? Crud. God dealt with Israel with justice. There had been no unfair treatment. Unfortunately, we claim it's not my fault. It's always something else. Somebody else's fault, my circumstances, you know. We need to go look in the mirror, folks. And the guy looking back at you in the mirror is the cause of our problems. Most of the time, you know. And maybe God's got some other reason, but he's trying to bring out, God has got a purpose in chastising. There's a reason. He's trying to accomplish something, trying to draw us back to him, draw us closer to him. And usually when you get in trouble, that's when you finally get around to praying. I tried everything else. I guess the only thing left to do is to pray. Verse 15. And thou, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. How many times has Daniel said that? He's confessing sin. He is reminded that God is powerful and has blessed them in the past. God, you have honored yourself by delivering us from Egypt. You honored yourself. You brought us out of, you showed yourself strong. However, we have sinned and done wickedly. We have dishonored you by our sin, is what this verse is saying. Verse 16. O Lord, according to thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach to all that are about us, everybody around us. And I guess I was drawn to this verse here. Notice God's feelings in this verse, verse 16. His feelings about their sin. It says anger and fury. Those are pretty powerful words. And I think that gives us a sense of God's feeling towards sin. Anger and fury. If you got God angry and furious at you or me, we got a problem. We got a problem. And God's trying to straighten us out. Daniel appeals to God's mercy to turn from his anger and fury with Israel. He's asking God for his mercy. He has nothing else to offer, to ask for. Again, Daniel admits that because of their iniquities, God is punishing them as he had promised he would. The neighboring nations were mocking and laughing at Israel's suffering under their load of guilt. It's talking about the people that are living around us. They're laughing and they're mocking. These nations could also be mocking Israel's God, claiming he was impotent, utterly unable to deliver the Jews from the Medo-Persian bondage. God, your God is weak. Look at you. You can't do anything about it. He can't do anything about it. They're mocking. Possibly. We don't know for sure. But that's a possibility, is what they're saying. Verse 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. The sanctuary is desolate, folks. It's been destroyed when they went into captivity. Daniel's pleading, hear the prayer of thy servant. There's a strong sense of urgency in Daniel's prayer here and in the following verses. These next couple of verses, I mean, he's pouring his heart out. He's crying out to the Lord on behalf of his people. Daniel's the only one praying. The rest of them are off doing their own thing. Cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. Because he sees they're going to get to go back to Jerusalem. He's praying for the people. Okay, I just said that. For the Lord's sake. Lord, for your sake. For your sake, for your name's sake. This carries the idea, renew your honor in the eyes of neighboring pagan nations who think you're weak and unable to help us. Well, that was one author's take on it, I think. And that could be partially true. But I think it's not, you know, for your own namesake, Lord, just for your children, you know, the people you love, for the Israelites' sake, the Jews. Lord, do it for their sake. You know, give us your mercy. Again, that's the only leg he's got to stand on is God's mercy. They have nothing to offer God. Folks, we have nothing to offer God. And again, it goes back to salvation. All we can do is cry out, God, your mercy. I'm pleading for your mercy. Lord, you said if I will seek your day, you know, and truly want to repent and be saved, it's nothing that we have done. We did not deserve God's grace, his mercy. We don't deserve it. But he loves us so much, he's willing to give it to us. Verse 18. Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. It's not for our righteousness. They didn't have any righteousness. But for your mercies. Open your ears and eyes with a view of moving your mighty hand on our behalf. Lord, we need your blessings. Move your hand on our behalf. Behold a city which is called by thy name. It's in shambles. Not for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Daniel again is saying, we don't have a leg to stand on, Lord. We're just simply pleading for your mercy, for your grace. Daniel's appeal is not based on Israel's being deserving of God's forgiveness. They didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. It's based entirely on God's mercy and compassion. And he is crying out and pleading to God for that. Verse 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. Or called by your name. O Lord, hear, forgive, hearken, and do. Defer not. We can see Daniel's pleading heart here. Not for the Jews' sake, but for thine own sake, and for thy city and thy people that are called by thy name. Lord, for your sake, do it. You know, we're known as your people. And Lord, right now your people are disobedient, and yet your name is at stake. Again, asking God to renew his honor in the eyes of pagan nations by showing himself able to lead his rebellious people. Some thoughts. That's the end of the prayer. And some thoughts to summarize all this. Does God's just retribution, does that scare us or does that comfort us? Quite a thought. I'm glad God doesn't give us what we deserve. Me, anyway. Because if God gave us what we deserved, it'd be an everlasting punishment in hell. That's what I deserve. It's what we all deserve. That's crystal clear in the Bible. Turn to Psalms 103. Psalm 103, verses 9 through 13. Who would read those verses for us? 9 through 13. Okay, Jeffrey? Folks, that's a blessed promise. Isn't that wonderful? You know, God, he doesn't hold his anger forever. He wants to forgive us. He's merciful. He is long-suffering. But he's also just. So many times people want to just strictly talk about the love of God, but they don't take a look at the justice of God, his holiness. We should never pray for God to change his will, but to realize his will is always best. Don't try to change God. We should be praying to line up our hearts with his will. Lord, thy will be done. His will is always to bless those who are obedient, even though we may suffer in things we don't understand. He's got a purpose behind it. We don't understand it. Lord, I don't understand why I'm going through this right now, but Lord, help me to realize that you have a purpose, and your purpose is best, whatever it is. And help me, Lord, to be obedient. Help me to be faithful. Help me to learn the lesson. God desires the very best for us. We don't want to change his mind about that, do we? No. We want God's best. Daniel sees God's will as he reads in verse 2 that he says Israel's captivity will last for 70 years. He's read that. And that's God's will. It's in his word, okay? That's what God's going to do. 3 more years. It depends on which author I'm talking, reading, in either 2 or 3 years within that time span. Daniel says, that's what I'm going to pray about. And down in verse 19, he says, Lord, hearken and do it and defer not. Hey, this is your will. This is what you say you're going to do. I can't wait, Lord. I'm praying for this to happen. In other words, God, do what Jeremiah says you're going to do. Do your will. 1 John 5, if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And we know we have the petitions we ask of him. His will, his will. The model prayer says, thy will be done. What if we don't know how to pray in a certain situation? You ever been there before? Lord, I really don't know how to pray. I have been there several times. I don't know how to pray. Well, we got Romans 8:26. Don't turn there. There it says, the Spirit makes intercession for us. He prays with us with utterance that we can't discern or understand, but the Holy Spirit, he fills in the blanks. He knows how to. Isn't that tremendous? That's a tremendous blessing to know that is going on our behalf. Intercessory prayer is strengthened by confession. Folks, we have seen Daniel confess here. We should not want what God does not want to give us. A lot of times we'd be better off if God didn't answer our prayer. Lord, give me that girl for a wife. You know, well, she may not be the one God has picked out for you. You know, an example there. Let's look at the heart attitude of Daniel as he becomes before God. Take a look at his heart. First of all, in verse 3, we see humility. A heart of all true prayer is an initial awareness that we don't even deserve to be in the presence of God. Ever think about that? I never had. We really don't deserve to be there. We don't have one thing in and of ourselves to commend us to him, to prayer, on our own. Now, God has told us to come boldly before the throne of grace. Again, that is his mercy. That's his mercy. And so where does Daniel begin? With that recognition. Lord, I don't deserve to even be praying to you. But Lord, yet you've told us to pray. You've allowed us to do it. Thank you, Lord, for that grace. Contrast that with the prayer of the Pharisee in Luke 18, who says, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men. I fast, I give tithes, and so forth and so forth. God didn't even hear that prayer. It was self-righteous, self-seeking, and self-confident. Daniel's heart probably brought up all kinds of sinful things. You know, it seemed like they say the closer a person gets to the Lord, the more they realize how sinful they really are, we really are. Wickedness. Now, this is some things that might have popped up in Daniel's mind. This is speculation, but I'm sure Daniel was a sinner. He's a sinful man. Probably as he's confessing all this stuff, I mean, wickedness, deafness to God's voice, disobedience to God's commands, probably popping up in Daniel's mind. This gave Daniel much humility. Abraham in Genesis 18 said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak to the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Isaiah saw God and lifted up in chapter 6, and he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. When you see yourself, you know, and these are very godly people, the Apostle Paul recognized the same truth about himself, that he had no right to be in God's presence. He considered himself the chief of sinners. He had killed Christians. Lord, how can you forgive somebody that's done that? I don't deserve your blessings, your grace. Daniel understands this. Daniel understands he doesn't belong in the presence of God. Folks, we need to understand that. We need to come in humility. God doesn't owe us a thing. Not a thing. And so before he can intercede for anybody else, he's got to make sure he gets himself a perspective. In verse 4, we see confession and reverence. In verse 4, that's a proper attitude of prayer. These are just hindsight hindsight thoughts here. That's a proper attitude of prayer. We need to come with that kind of a heart to seek God. Because as people had not turned back to God, Daniel earnestly sought the Lord. He wanted his people not only to be released from bondage, but also to be fully restored to God. He probably didn't have a very promising outlook as he looked over the children of Israel and all their disobedience. And folks, we want our country to be restored back to the Lord, but it certainly does not look very promising, you know, as a whole. He knew that this would involve repentance from sin, and he says in verse 4, he says, giving mercy to them who love him. God gives mercy to them. Daniel knew that obedience to God brings blessing from God, and also disobedience to God brings discipline from God. Folks, you can't state that any simpler, any clearer, and it's true. He wanted to see an end to the present discipline from God. Daniel wants to see it end. We say we don't deserve this. If there's a God, why do we have all this disaster? Again, we start blaming God. We don't deserve this. Yes, we do. We need to realize we do. Here's one author's quote. Many people say, if there is a God, he must be a crummy one. You know, that's the way we respond. You know, Lord, I'm better than this. I don't deserve this. You're treating me unfairly. One of the truest elements of confession is that when God chastens us for our sin, we accept the responsibility for that chastening and never blame anything or anyone else. Wow. We accept the responsibility for that chastening and never blame anything or anyone else. That's the first thing we start doing, is pointing here and there. It's them, it's my circumstances, you know. Again, go look in the mirror. We all need to go look in the mirror. That guy looking back at us is the one that's causing our problem. For one reason or the other, God knows. We don't. We may not. God knows. Something wonderful about Daniel, he included himself in their sins. In verse 5, he says, we have sinned. It was we. It was us. Not they have sinned. And look at Daniel's life. He didn't stand apart as if he were self-righteous. A self-righteous man would not identify with those sinners. Daniel identified with them. He says, we have sinned. We could say, well, Daniel had every right to stand up and say, boy, am I glad I'm not a part of that bunch. He could have said that. Very godly man. I shouldn't say he could have said that. Well, anyway, that would be a normal human reasoning if you were in Daniel's sandals. He could have said, I have been living righteously. I have been serving you all my life. I'm not like those other guys. Folks, our time is, I'm 2 minutes overdue. I see Pastor got up and walked out. He gets nervous when I get running over time. So, shut her down here. We probably better just, okay. Anybody have any very quick questions or comments? Yes, sir.
You mentioned Abraham as an example of humbleness. Was there a reference in the Bible to that? I just wanted to, did you mention a...
Okay, no, I don't. No, I was just kind of going through, no, I didn't get the reference for that. So, I don't have it. Okay, we need to close the prayer. We're overdue. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this prayer. And Lord, see, this is the way we should be praying to you, Lord. And, Lord, this lesson was for me. And Lord, just help us, Lord, to realize help us, give us humility, Lord, to understand we don't even deserve Lord, to be able to ask anything of you. And Lord, yet you've opened your heart wide open to each and every one of us. Father, that is mercy. That is a blessing. We just pray, Lord, that you'll help us as we study these lessons. I pray that you'll help us to learn. And Father, be with Pastor now as he brings a morning message. I pray, Lord, that you'll open our hearts. Help us, Lord, to see you and, Lord, to see us and just work in our hearts, Lord, in whatever way that you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. We're 3.5 minutes late.